Welcome to the Organize 365 Podcast Special Teacher Podcast Edition. In this podcast series, you'll meet Jamie, the principal of Lawrenceburg Middle School, and learn how she got herself organized and all about implementing the Organize 365 Teacher Workbox in her whole building in the first Organize 365 pilot program. Jamie and I explore school organization from superintendents all the way down to teachers and personal organization. We talked through what didn't work, what we would have done differently, and how other buildings and districts can embrace the teacher workbox. So now listen in to my next conversation with Jamie. Welcome back to the second podcast in this series. Jamie is joining us again. Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
So we are going to talk now about Jamie's personal organization story. And this is how Jamie's and my stories overlap. So I mentioned that I quit my teaching job in December of 2011, the year that I was turning 40. And I started this company, Organize 365. And I started this company as a blog because Organize 365 was a good SEO term. I had no idea what kind of a business it would be. I just knew that my life was a hot mess. I was a hot mess. Everything in my life was, there was nothing I could say that was going well. I was not being a good wife, a good mother, a good homeowner. I thought I was being a good teacher. My administrator told me I wasn't. I was like, fine, then I'm out. So I quit. And I came home, and that's how I got out of teaching, was my administrator told me I was not doing a good job teaching. And I thought I was doing a good job. I was 39 years old. I had, I think, around 18 kids in my middle school Montessori school. I was teaching them individual algebra lessons. So I was planning for 18 algebra lessons every day, and I was teaching science, and I was doing hashtag all the things. I was giving all of my hours to school. I was prioritizing school above everything else. And when I was told that my contribution was not good enough, I was like, well, then why am I sacrificing my marriage and my kids? Because I am sacrificing my marriage and my kids for this. So it's not worth it. So I'm out. And I think that when we start to understand why people leave the teaching profession, we then could support when their passion leads to burnout. In my case, I knew somebody else could step in and be the teacher in that classroom. I knew it wouldn't be easy and it would definitely affect those kids, but not to the level that it was affecting my kids. And no one else could be the mother of my kids. And so I did not want to keep trying to please someone who I was not already pleasing at the expense of my personal family. And so that's why I left teaching. And when I started to organize 365, I realized that I was an in-home professional organizer and started organizing people in Cincinnati. Over time, that turned into a podcast and then online courses. And now I'm an online teacher and people opt in to being taught through our courses and products and services and the things that we've patented and that we have created. And so in that way, our school is voluntary. So people sign up to join in our school. But the process of getting to where I am today was a process of having to totally relearn the organization that came naturally to me as a child. As a child, I was very organized. When I went into school, I was very organized. But the year I was turning 40, I was not. Like, I was not organized. I was overweight. I was on antidepressants. I was in debt up to my eyeballs. Like, just nothing was working. And so I had to really relearn and reteach myself some systems and strategies for these new phases of life. And I found that most people who are disorganized either were never organized at any other point in their life, or they were organized at a different point in their life, and they were trying to apply that organization to this new phase of life. And it would be like saying that, okay, when you start first grade, those school supplies that you need in first grade are the only school supplies you're going to need all the way through higher education. Like, no, you're going to need computers and you're going to need different tools in your skill set. So I've created those. I haven't really created any new tools. I've just reworded different tools that are already available for the most part so that people can start to use them. And so that is how Jamie found me and found Organize 365, was when she was getting organized. So Jamie, why don't you start there? When did you decide to work on your organization and what was the process like for you?
Well, I'm kind of in that second boat of people that I really was naturally an organized person. I laughed all the time and said I was an organized hoarder. I had everything and it was all organized, but I had just too much. And I think it was, I was working, but once I had kids, like It is amazing how much one little tiny person can bring into your home, right? And how quickly they can destroy it right after you clean. And so I started my kid journey started in 2004. And I will say I probably hit rock bottom around 2017. Like my before pictures, whenever I do presentations, they're all dated December of 2017, because I had not found you yet at that point. I found another company and they had us do before pictures. So those before pictures were, and I look back now and I'm like, I lived like that. And I laugh because I'm like, this wasn't just a bad day. Like that's how my house looked. And you see it different when you take pictures. Like you just see it from a different view. So I think that once I got that, it was actually paper, believe it or not, that was the first thing I did. That was what that company specialized in. And I had all the paper. I mean, I so understand where people, like I cleared basically an entire closet that I just kept bringing into school and shredding, because I had credit cards from my first marriage that had ended in 2000 for 17 years. I kept all of them and they were organized monthly, date. It was insane. Yes. And so I really had to take a look and be like, what's important? And I, like you said, I had something had to go, right? Like I couldn't keep being a teacher and being a parent and being a wife. I could not do all the things as well as I wanted to do them, because I do have a little bit of perfectionist tendencies. And by 2017, I was in my current position. So I had already transitioned into the principalship, and I wanted weekends. I still have this philosophy. Monday through Friday, I might as well have a bed at school. Like I always reintroduce myself to my family when I come home on Fridays. And in 2017, Friday nights, there were times that I stayed until 11 or 12 because I had to get it organized for Monday. I had to start off the week well, and I liked my weekends for my family. But unfortunately, I was coming home and having to spend Saturdays cleaning. And by 2017, my kids were old enough that they could have done stuff and that kind of thing, but I was taking it all on.
And I think that this is the conversation that Organize 365 likes to really get in the middle of. We are so busy living our lives that we tend to think that it's all one life and like we work. And so people listening to this podcast are working in the education sphere. And we know in education that we are going to bring some of that work home, or we are going to stay and work late. Like we understand when we sign up that this really isn't just a school hours job. Like if you did when you signed up, then you weren't listening. I mean, everybody says you're at least going to spend a couple nights late and you're going to do a little bit on the weekend, whatever. Like you're going to work beyond those actual school hours in order to do what you need to do. Because if you're teaching kids during school hours, well, the planning isn't happening in that one planning bell that you get per week or whatever that minimum amount is. Like you need a considerable quantity of planning time, especially when you're new and you have no idea what you're doing. So you need a lot of time to observe, to go to conferences, to make your plans, to do your research at the library, to get the extra books that you need, all of those things. What we don't give weight to is the amount of work necessary to sustain human life and to maintain a residence. Whether you own or rent or lease, it really doesn't matter. There are household management responsibilities. There are human management responsibilities, and then there's your job. And I had this idea that when I was going to be an adult, no one could tell me what to do. And so I wouldn't have to clean my room on Saturday, which is true. I don't have to clean my bedroom on Saturday morning, but I do have to clean the rest of the house, do the laundry, do the meal prep, buy the groceries, da da. So there's so much more than I ever realized. And when you quantify that in academia, you're looking at a part-time job. Like you're looking at 20 to 34 hours a week for those human and household resource management hours. And I cannot find a single study that shows that men are doing more of those hours than women. Women are always doing more of those hours than men. Now, there's a lot I could talk about with that, which I'm not going to, but a lot of that does fall on the woman. That is changing, but it has not changed yet. So especially if you look at female teachers, they're then going home to a part-time job. Now, what I found was happening for me is I could see visibly the papers that I was grading, the lesson plans I was doing, but the household work was invisible to me. So I didn't realize how much household work I was doing, or let's face it, by the end, wasn't doing. So it was very obvious I wasn't doing it. And so I attributed a lot of my overwhelm and overwork to school. And the truth of the matter was, it was the overwhelm and overwork of doing two full-time jobs that I did not realize were full-time jobs. And so when I got my home organized, the amount of work it took to maintain that home reduced significantly. And then when I secondarily reduced my expectations on the level of the amount of work I did weekly in my home, I also got a lot more free time and a lot more mental bandwidth, because we as teachers especially are always trying to get an A at everything, everywhere, including your dusting, which is ridiculous. You need to stop it because you're wasting all of your life energy and all of these things that matter, but they don't matter to the level that we are ascribing their value.
100%. And I think I did not realize how much the home was affecting the work until I got the home under control, which is one thing I have stressed with my teachers that have gone through this process with us, is how many of them are now working on the home side. Because I told them, until I got the home done, the home was causing mental chaos that I didn't know it was causing.
Can you articulate that? And like, what? How long did it take you? What was the process for actually getting your home the way you wanted it?
So I found Organized 365 in 2020. I think that's when we all really, really found you and like jumped in and got all the things, right? And that's when I started the process, right? Like I started it, I'll be honest, I had worked, I laugh because of how many of the same, those programs, like 31.
Direct sales.
Direct sales, that you and I did the same ones. Like there were ones out there that nobody'd even heard of, and you and I both did them. And I'm oh my God.
Yep.
But anyways, so I had this little box that I had gotten back when I sold 31, and I had created my Sunday basket, right? And it did things, don't get me wrong. There is something about the real one. We'll go into that. That's a whole nother sidetrack. But I think if I'm really being real, like some of my stuff was kind of done because I had done bits and pieces over the years, right? Like I watched Marie Kondo's show. I didn't talk to my clothes and that kind of thing, but I had got them somewhat done and different things, but no matter what. And I, to this day, Joe still laughs at me because I'm still going back and listening to your older podcasts, because I'm like, even though she says it, I hear it differently now.
Yep.
So I think even though I started the process in 2017, I still learn new things because either I'm in a different phase or I'm just in a different mindset. But I would say it took, it definitely took me two rounds of, at the time it was the 100 days. And I had planning day. I bought in and got the planning day. I think the planning days really were eye-opening, because the first time I did it, I'm like, how am I doing all of this?
Yes. So there's the physical organizing, and then there is the planning. And just like I said in the teaching, there is the actual teaching of the school day, and then there is a planning. You would never, ever in your life expect that you would wake up every single day of a school year, walk into the classroom, and be like, all right, today I think we're going to blah, 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 without doing planning. Like, we had to hold classes on lesson plans in school. Maybe that's why I'm so obsessed with planning, is because I have a teaching degree, and so I know how much planning affects your classroom. The more planned you are, the easier it is to deal with the distractions and the disruptions and the behavior issues, because you know what you're going to plan, you're going to teach. And on the days where you're kind of winging it, or you didn't really get all the way through your lesson plans, or you got through Wednesday, but you didn't do Thursday, Friday, like Thursday, Friday isn't going to go well. And you know it's not going to go well because you just didn't plan as much as you could have. And so I took that learning, I guess, from being a teacher into the household. And in the household, I teach 3 planning days per year. And those correspond with the school year. Because even if you're not a school teacher, it doesn't matter. We run our households on school schedules, even if you don't have children. We plan in September through December, January through May, and May through August. So we plan summer, fall, and we plan January through May. And in those have different things that you need to prepare for. So Jamie's talking about a live event that we do every 120 days where we look at the next 4 months and we look at what is coming and how we can proactively plan for our household life, just like we plan for our school.
And within those, so Lisa does these surveys within Planning Day, and yes. It says, how do you feel organized here? How do you feel organized there? So I will say that after a good year, I was mm-hmm. able to like at least move myself, mm-hmm. not to organize, but I was at least, I saw the gauge moving, right? Like I was like, oh, if I'm really sitting here and I'm thinking about just that area, I'm getting there. I will say it was 2 years before I was able to be like, done. Yes. Oh, I'm done with that one too. And done is like 90%, yeah. Not perfect, like done. And and I think realizing the areas that I'm okay. Like I'm not going to move all my big furniture and dust behind it because nobody's going to move my big furniture.
I've never done that in my life.
So like you have to really sit down and determine what's important to you and your family and be able to think about it and have those conversations. And things change. Like I jokingly say all the time, my house is organized except for Kennedy's room. Like I've tried, you know, it's organized, but like she's a different mindset and I have to let her be that way. And I've kind of embraced the idea of her condo and, you know, I just have to let it happen. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned from all of it was how to determine what was big and what wasn't. And I laughed because we got new windows. And I think that was my biggest wake up call was we got new windows, yeah. And I don't know if anybody's ever gotten new windows, but that is an undertaking, and you have to move everything away from your windows to be able to give the guys plenty of room. So the stuff was in the middle of every room of my house for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And one day at school, one of the people that I work with, like my, at the time, assistant principal and counselor, who are like my people, right, said, we're going to get you a hotel room because you need sleep. And I'm like, is it that bad? Like, and they're like, yes, it's that bad. And the funny thing was, is I went through and took pictures. And guys, the house was neater when I was getting the windows done than it was when I was living that way in 2017. But I didn't realize it. And nobody was able to put a finger on it. But like the day the guys told me they were done, I took a half a day from work and came home and put my house back. Because I realized I had now retrained my brain to not have all that mental chaos. And that was probably my biggest like, oh, okay, I'm there, right? But I would say 18 months, like give yourself space. And work took longer. Like it did.
Yeah. Say 3 years. I say, you know, it's going to take about 3 years to get your house all the way done. And I say that because it's true. Yes. And also, as educators, would you expect that a child is going to start September 1 of first grade and that they are going to be able to read a full book and write a full report? No, you would not. But you would expect that by the end of third grade. And so a lot of what we know as educators, when you apply that into the house, like if you are living in a chaotic state for you, everybody's version of chaos is different, but usually you don't want to do anything with undertake getting your house organized until you're to the point where you go, I can't do it anymore. When I talk to marketers and they say, what is the commonality of the people who come to Organize 365? It's not an age. It's not a demographic. It's not where you live. I said, they have decided they can't live the rest of their life this way. And so they're going to do whatever it takes to change it. And they're like, that's not a demographic. I'm like, well, that's who actually will start the Organize 365 program, because you have to put in more than a weekend or a month into your organization, it's like, no, I'm going to retrain my habits. I'm going to reset this house for this phase of life, for this family that I have, not the pretend imaginary family I thought I would have, not the people who are going to interact the way I thought they were going to interact, like the actual life that I'm living today, I'm going to organize for this actual life for the next decade or so. And I'm going to continue to update it as I go along. That is what organization at home takes. The problem at home, which is why I'm getting my PhD, but I'm just in the middle of it, is that the systems, processes, and procedures that we have inside of corporate America and we have inside of schools were put into place during the Industrial Revolution. So about 100 to 150 years ago. Before that, it was a one-room schoolhouse. There was no leveling. Like all of this that we are experiencing in the academic setting and inside of the work setting came from the Industrial Revolution, came from Henry Ford putting in the, what's it called? The line that people work on. The production line.
Production line.
You guys know what we're talking about. It's not called a production line, but you know what we're talking about. You're answering. You're all answering. You're all correct. We're wrong. You get the gold star. But all of those things inside of all corporations came because we had a whole bunch of people working at the same time in the same place. Also, there were ramifications for that at home. A great book that explains this is The Secret History of Home Economics. Home economics used to be the only way that women could get a college degree was if you got it in home economics, which was a science degree, or you could get a teaching degree. I mean, for a long time, those are the only degrees that women could get. And it was an actual science degree, very fascinating book. Anyways, the systems and processes and structures we have in corporate America and inside of school settings, we do not have in our households. Everyone is left with walking into a house or a condo or an apartment, and they're like, here are your keys. Good luck. And then you have to go on the internet and be like, how do I meal plan? How do I grocery shop? How do I save money? How do I organize my closet? How do I do this? And like Marie Kondo is a great example. Great. Go find Marie. She will get your closet organized. That will work for almost anybody who does it. But her idea of organizing your paper in a completely digital country, Japan is 100% digital. They have digital birth certificates in Japan, by the way, is to have three folders, period. And that's it for your paper. Americans, we have three folders before you're three. Like, I mean, we just like, we love our paper. And teachers, oh my gosh, like we like to laminate it. Like we have paper and then we laminate it. Like teachers love paper more than anybody in the world. And so giving yourself the time to get organized at home and at school. And as we go through this pilot program, because Jamie and I know, especially as women, how intertwined this home and work is, inside of this pilot program, we did combine home and work. If I were able to wave a magic wand and say to Congress, here's how you solve the teacher problem, support teachers with a teacher workbox at work and support them with a Sunday basket at home. These are the school supplies that adult women need in order to be functional teachers. They need something that makes visible the invisible work at school and something that makes visible the invisible work at home. All right, we're going to end this podcast. We're going to come back. We're going to dive back into school and we're going to talk about it from the administration standpoint. So assistant principals, principals, superintendents, what are their roles in schools? Because I don't know. And how is that organizational structure? Now, just a little caveat, we're going to be talking about in Indiana, in this specific school district. Jamie doesn't speak for all administrators. I don't speak for all previous teachers or homeowners, but we're going to do our best. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks.
Organization is a learned skill that is taught. Teachers teach. Districts need to teach and support teachers in the additional administrative roles in education. The Teacher Workbox is a comprehensive system that does just that. First, the Teacher Workbox has a complete online course that makes visible all the invisible roles in education. And it also includes the school supplies of a physical box, 40 slash pockets, and a workbook. Additionally, the annual teacher camp in July is included in this course, in which teachers will build their box for the first time or rebuild their box each summer for the next school year. They'll set up their systems, and they'll be part of a positive online teacher community of other teachers doing the same. Then throughout the school year, from Labor Day to Memorial Day, with a 4-week break in December, There will be weekly accountability groups in our teacher club from 8 to 9:30 Eastern on Thursday nights. Don't worry, if people can't attend live, there's always a replay. And this is a lifetime membership. Just like everything we learn in college when we're getting our teaching degree, the learning that comes with the teacher workbox will stick with teachers for the duration of their teaching career. And they will have access to the summer camp and the weekly accountability for the duration of their teaching career. That's right. One enrollment, lifetime access. Organize 365 supports teachers so they can teach and support students. We would love to partner with you in the teacher workbox and getting that going in your school, in your grade level, or in your district. Go ahead and email customerservice@organize365.com if you have any more questions or if you want directions on how to place a purchase order.